What's going on, everybody? I'm Mara.
And I'm Taz.
And welcome back to Sisters Who Kill. Sugar, spice, and everything nice. These were the ingredients chosen to create the perfect little girl. But Professor Utonium accidentally added an extra ingredient to the concoction. Chemical X. Thus, a murderess was born. Using her ultra superpowers, jealousy, anger, rage, she has dedicated her life to getting landed in jail. . 2024 has been a crazy year already. I know Taz and I are constantly busy between going to work, doing the podcast, going to rehearsals, Taz meeting with clients, me going on auditions. There is hardly any time in the day. And then the end of the day comes and I realize that I haven't eaten and I don't know what I want for dinner. But then I realize that I don't have to stress at all because I have HelloFresh. Whether you're trying to save money, eat better, or stress less, HelloFresh is here to help you do all three. Say hello to your most delicious year yet with fresh ingredients and chef-crafted recipes at a price you'll like, delivered right to your door. So no more doing what I used to do, staring blankly into the fridge, wondering what I'm going to make for dinner, because I gave HelloFresh a try. And you should too, and dig into their biggest menu yet with over 45 recipes to choose from each week. So go to HelloFresh.com/SWKFree and use the code SWKFree for free breakfast for life. One breakfast item per box while subscription is active. That's free breakfast for life at HelloFresh.com/SWKFree. Code SWKFree.
Our players this week are Brian Spinks, our victim, and Kamethia Coleman, our murderess.
Kamethia Coleman was born on May 27th, 1985 in Minden, Louisiana. Her mother's name was Gail Coleman. She was the type of person that everybody enjoyed being around. I feel like we say that all the time. And then she became the murderess. But she was smart and she was dedicated to her studies. She was active in school. She was like the homecoming queen or whatever. She was the prom queen or whatever. But after high school, she did go to college. She had dreams of becoming a social worker. She wanted to give back to other people. She wanted to be a part of the change in the system and she wanted to help her community. She really gets her career off the ground. She's helping a lot of students, a lot of families, and she's a young adult. She's also dating and going out and doing what people in their mid to late 20s do. And so one day a friend of hers comes up to her and is like, hey, one of my homeboys is having a little kickback at his house. His name is Brian Spinks. He's really cool. He's in the military. I think you like him. We're going to have a good time, probably play some cards, get some drinks. It'll be fun. Why don't you come? And she's like, I don't know, Brian Spinks, but I'm down for a good time. Let's go.
So Brian Dennis Spinks was born on December 15th, 1980. I believe he was raised in Huntsville, Alabama. Or maybe he was born in St. Louis and moved to Huntsville because he was in Alabama in 99. I think he might have been born in St. Louis, Missouri. And then I think his family ended up moving to Huntsville, Alabama. But he graduated from the Butler High School in Huntsville in 1999. After he graduates high school, he's like, what am I going to do with my life? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to join the Air Force.
And he ends up getting stationed at Barksdale Air Force in Shreveport, Louisiana.
Now, it says that Brian was a staff sergeant with the U.S. Air Force, and he had gone overseas twice. He did two tours. And they say at the time of his death, he was an E-5. Now, Google says that an E-5 is just a sergeant, but they said that during his time, he was working with the heating, ventilation, and air conditioning and refrigeration in the 2D Civil Engineer Squadron. Y'all who know. He was known as a loving and kind-hearted man. He really enjoyed being around his family and his friends. He was always helping folks. Some would call him generous. And that was the military man in him, loving to give back. This is his country he fought for. All that pride and respect and shit. Now, he had been in the Air Force for over 10 years at this point. He was doing well off of himself. He bought a house. And his house is really what I envision for my house. My house is going to be called the compound. It's just going to be where niggas come to chill. Family is welcome. Friend, you good? You want to stay here? Kick off your shoes. Relax your feet. Mi casa es su casa, only if I know you.
All right, now, people going to be like, Tazzy, I need a place to stay.
Not to stay, to rest. It's a pit stop, okay? You rest your eyes for a night, and the next day, you keep on trucking. Maybe even a weekend. We can have a little fun. But yeah, his house was the house that everybody would chill at. Now, along the way, he met this girl named Taylor Chanel. At least that's what they say on her Facebook. He met her in church or whatever, and they was eyeing each other. And they messed around, had a little baby, a little daughter. But that's okay. They was co-parenting. Nothing too crazy. Just a simple life.
And sometimes it just don't work out with your baby mama.
And that's okay.
And that's okay.
Don't force it.
Exactly. Here he is. He's at his one little get-togethers. He's got people over at the house, and Camethia is invited, and he sees her and she sees him, and they are like, hey. Of course, he's like, welcome to my home. If you need anything, let me know, and I'll make sure that we have it for you. Drinks over there, snacks over there. If you need anything, let me know. My name is Brian. What's your name? She's like, Camethia. He said, all right, Kimmy, welcome. And so they have a couple drinks, and she's definitely feeling him, and he's definitely feeling her. Next thing you know, they started messing around. Now, they started messing around for a long time. Like, this wasn't just no one-night stand. They have been together for over a year, according to her.
They was together.
They was together. She was with him. He may or may not have been with her. He said, I'm not really here for a serious relationship. I got a daughter. I got things to take care of.
She like, nigga, I like kids.
I'm just here. We can be friends. We can mess around with each other. And I think that'd be great. But she's like, no, I want us to do a relationship things. I want us to go on trips. I want you to come over for Thanksgiving. I want us to have matching pajamas on Christmas. That's what I want. And he's like, no, that's not really what I want. Camethia is like, why aren't you trying to show me off? You got somebody on the side. And if you do, go ahead and cut it, because this is where you're at. This is home, me. She started going through his phone. Who is this person you talking to? Girl, that's my cousin. Stop. Don't you start. Oh, it's already begun, baby. It's already begun. And where are you going? And why can't we go together? Take me on a date. Show me off. Post me.
Niggas, if you want to stay safe, just take her on a date. Just do it.
But she started getting, like, more and more riled up. And some people would describe it as erratic. But she was getting very riled up to the point.
People would say she's being irrational.
They would. Like, even his cousins that knew her, like, it's not like she was some huge secret. His cousins, his folks knew her. And they were like, she's becoming more controlling. She's like, where you at? Where you been? Like, I can't even hit my cousin up no more. I can't talk to my family member. Or you fussing about every time that we talk? No, that doesn't make any sense. So eventually, Brian was like, listen, this has been fun. This has been cool. This is over. And he thought that was that. Even like his cousin, one time she was like, who is this bitch that you with? Cousin pull up. She's like, and this bitch is at the house. And the girl is like, no, we're actually related. He's not playing a game. We share the same grandma. You have nothing to be jealous about? And she ain't like that either. It was really getting hard for Brian. Brian could not deal with all of Kimmy's stuff. And so he said, listen, I think we just need to take a break. And see, that's where you mess up. You need to break up with somebody or you need to stay together with somebody. But he said he wanted to take a break. And they decided, you're right. She needed to go back to her own apartment for a little while. She goes, everybody just calms down for a little while. Brian, in his mind, he said break, but he really meant break up. And so he started messing around with other women, allegedly. Kimmy, she said break, but that means we're still in love, right?
Because that's what you do. You make up, is it real if you haven't broken up at least once?
Exactly. Here it is. It's January 16th, 2010. Brian is at the club. He's with his friends. He got a little shawty with him. And he looks up and Kim is right there. And Kim starts going off at the club. They had to drag her ass out. And Brian, he's drunk. You done come up here and started embarrassing me in front of my friends. This is a mess. So Brian, he goes home. He's pissed. He goes home and he dials Kimmy. And he's like, you know what, Kimmy? It was real fucked up how you was acting at the club. You embarrassing me in front of my friends and shit. It's over. It's over. We're done. And I'm serious this time. We're done. That wasn't what he said on the phone with her. He actually left her a voicemail. Mm-hmm. Because she didn't answer the phone because she was already turning the corner on Quail Street in Shreveport and she was pulling up because of course she was. Mm-hmm. As soon as she lets herself in, she's like, so who was you with at the club? So who was that bitch I saw you with? And he's like, listen, you need to go. She's like, I ain't going nowhere. He's like, no, you really need to go. She's like, listen, I know I've been acting crazy, but that's because I love you and I don't understand why you don't love me too. And he's like, I don't know why I don't love you either, but I don't. Goodbye. Please leave.
Damn. You got to be careful with how you talk to sensitive people, right? Because what you'll say is, I cannot take your controlling behaviors. This needs to stop. And what she hears is, you stupid bitch. I never loved you. You did everything right. And I still don't love you. Nah, nigga, you was wildin'. And I told you this wasn't what I wanted. No, what you said was you loved me. No, I said I loved your food. You hear what you want to hear.
Tazzy. What? See, and I'm the delusional one. I'm like, you yes. said that.
I loved you in that dress. Kim is going on and on, like, baby, don't leave me. We go so well together. Like, what is you even talking about? Like, we supposed to spend the rest of our life together for life first. And Brian's like, nah, bro. Like, you being mad fucking annoying. Like, you need to go. So he ended up walking to the kitchen, Kim following behind him. And he turns his back to Kim. He's facing the sink. He's like, I don't even want nothing to do with you no more. Now, that triggered something inside of Kim, right? Because growing up, her mama would turn her back to her and would stop talking to her, and it made her feel annoyed. So her inner child came out and was like, no, he didn't. It was the ultimate offense. She picks up a knife. Y'all know them little knife boxes. We all got them on the counter. And starts stabbing Brian in the back. She's stabbing, going crazy to the point where the handle of the knife breaks off. If you thought that slowed her down, it did not. She grabs another knife and continues to stab him over and over again. Y'all, she stabbed him 64 times. Now, after stabbing him, she calls 911. Duh, right? It's about 4 a.m. She gets on the phone, and she's frantic. She's like, oh, my God. Somebody come quick. They said, man, what happened? She said, somebody attacked my boyfriend. Oh, my God, send somebody quick. He's dying. Now, in the back of the call, the 911 operator is like, ma'am, who attacked your boyfriend? She said, somebody followed me. I was coming to talk to my boyfriend to ask him if he was okay, and somebody came and they followed me. They said, somebody else stabbed your boyfriend? She's like, yes. And she was like, where is the guy now? I don't know. Next thing you know, you hear Brian in the background. Brian like, help. And Kim is like, baby, are you okay? Say something. And Brian is saying, help. Help me. So the 911 operator is like, you need to put pressure on the wounds, like where's the most blood, like trying to help her save his life. And she was like, okay, tell me what to do. Well, she picks up a knife and stabs him in the neck. The knife goes like 3 inches deep. She stabs him for real. Pulls the knife back out and cuts his throat right above his Adam apple from left to right. And Kim's on the phone like, I think we're losing him. The 911 operator can hear Brian gurgling on the phone. Like, the shit she was doing was supposed to make him better. And she can literally hear this man dying and choking on his own blood. He was just asking for help. Kim is waiting for the police and paramedics to get there. She stabs herself a few times and starts coming up with a story of what she's going to tell these cops. She stabs herself in the left bottom part of her stomach, the mid-right side of her stomach. She put some cuts on one hand and two cuts on some other, like, arm and stuff. She sliced herself up a little bit. Now, Brian cuts all over. Most of them was just upper torso, shoulder, back. He got a couple of cuts on his face, got him on his arms, like defensive wounds. But he was really, he was trying to fight back. And not even like fight back, but like defend himself. He was attacked. The police get there and they see Brian laying on the floor in a pool of his own blood. They find two knives near his body. One, of course, with the handle missing. They obviously see that Kamethia's got all these wounds on her, so they're like, let's get her to the hospital. We're not going to question her here. She needs medical attention. The police are like, ma'am, what happened here? And she was like, somebody's coming home, and somebody, I came over here to see him, and somebody must have followed me. She was like, they came in, they attacked us, they came into the house, and I don't know who he was, some black guy, and he had dreads, and he just comes into the apartment, and like, he must have followed me here, and when he got here, he starts stabbing Brian. Then it was like, what have you been doing that day? Let's retrace your steps and see when or why somebody started following you. She was like, me and my girls, we was out. We was kind of bar hopping and shit. And we had got to the last place. It was like 2 a.m. And I went inside this like little bar club place. And Brian and some of his friends were there. And like, I didn't know he was going to be there. I just happened to run into him while he was there. And she was like, we like on a break. We both agreed to give each other some space, you know? Like, of course, we still love each other. But sometimes you need to like, let it breathe. We love each other. Anywho, we had made like this agreement or whatever that we wasn't going to like hang out at the same bar or anything to like, we don't want to like, if I'm talking to a nigga, you talking to a girl, we don't want it to be a scene. So we was like, we're going to respect each other's space. I had seen him when I got there. I went to him and I was just apologizing like, oh my bad. I didn't know that you were going to be at this bar. Like, please don't get upset at me. So the cops are kind of like, let's see what the nurses are saying. Tell us what's up with her injuries. And they're like, I wouldn't say these are injuries from being attacked. And they're like, no, she stabbed in the leg and stuff. And they're like, yeah, but the way she's cut, these aren't defensive wounds. These are like attack wounds or like self-rendered wounds, right? Just the angles and shit. The detectives are like, all right. Is she stable? She good to go? They like, yeah, she good to go. They said, transfer this girl down to the police department because we got some more questions to ask her. And at this point, it's like 7 a.m.
They speak to her again and she's like, oh, I know the man that attacked us. It was this guy. His name is John. He be stalking me. And they're like, John be stalking you. She's like, yes. And they're like, tell us about John. She was like, everywhere I would go, John would show up. And it was really crazy because John was very jealous of me. And so I went to Brian's apartment and next thing John comes in and he breaks into the house. We try to run from him and he then busts open the door, kicks down Brian's bedroom door and starts stabbing him. I even tried to like attack John to get him off of Brian. And John then came on to me and stabbed me a couple times. That's why I got these stab wounds here. And I was so scared. And they were like, okay, cool. So we talked to the doctors, we talked to the nurses, and it looks like they think that your wounds are self-inflicted just because of the angle. If you were attacked, it would be deeper. And your wounds in comparison to Brian's wounds, they just don't really add up. And she's just upset. Sometimes she's answering questions. Sometimes she's screaming. She's really trying to show her full range of motion here in this interview. They have every right to question her. They've read her rights. She signed a waiver. So her acting up, she can act up all she wants. But when they told her that, Kim said, may I speak to a different detective alone? And they were like, sure, you can speak to whoever you want to. So they bring in a different detective. And this is where she got messed up. She said, listen, here's the truth.
Listen, I feel like there was good cop, bad cop in it. And I felt like the bad cop was getting on her nerves. And she like really thought she had a friend. And I definitely feel like that cop, like, really played into it. Like, I feel like she was like, Kamethia, Kimmy, Kim, can I call you Kim? talk to me. What's on your mind? Like, I feel like she was really reeling her in.
Yeah, and so she started talking to the other cops. And they're like, listen, we know that he left you this voicemail saying that it was over. We know that you guys had an argument that night. Tell us what's up. She said, listen, this is the truth. The truth is, I went over there and he was so angry about seeing me with somebody else that Ryan attacked me. We were arguing. He jacked me up by my throat. He started punching me. And then he took a knife and he stabbed me about 4 or 5 times. And I'm trying to get away from Brian, right? I'm trying to get away from him as much as I can. And he stabbed me here in the torso. He stabbed me here in my leg. And so then I went into the kitchen. And by that time, I'm in pain, blackout. I'm in the kitchen. I just started defending myself. He was attacking me. I had to defend myself. And somehow I was able to fight him and get his knife from him and then defend myself from him. And they're like, the story is not making sense. Can you run it again? And she was like, you know what? Can I get a lawyer? Which, like, it's definitely like, I think I'm too deep. I think I done fucked up. Can I get a lawyer, please? So they end the interview. She gets her phone call. She calls her mom and she's on the phone with her mom. She's like, hey, mom, okay, we can talk because I don't think that the line is being recorded. So I'm going to tell you what's happening, okay? And she's like, okay, so this is what I told them happened. Like, I told them about this guy named John trying to come in and break in the house. And then I eventually told him about Brian trying to attack me. The detectives are like, okay, let's see if we can talk to any witnesses since they were out in a public place. They talk to some of Brian's friends and they're like, was Brian upset about Kimmy coming and popping up? And they were like, no, Brian was chilling, having a good night. We had fun that night. Kim brought her behind up to our section, waving her hands, screaming, talking about she gonna whoop his ass, whoop the girl ass. Like, she started everything. Brian was chilling. And after that, he ain't feel like doing nothing. He's just moved. He was blown. He wasn't mad, but he was blown. He wanted to go home.
On January 28th, the memorial service for Brian was held at Barksdale Air Force Base. Staff Sergeant Dante Jimmy Williams spoke about Brian, and he was like, he was truly a great man, a great father, an outstanding non-commissioned officer, and a true friend to me. He said, I'm a better person, a better friend, and a better father because of Brian. He's truly going to be missed. Gone too soon. Master Sergeant William Carey said, he had value in his life. He loved people. He didn't care what color you were, what country you're from. He just loved people. He tried to live so that he enjoyed his life. He was a blessing upon other people. And when I think about principles and values, I think about Sphinx. Lieutenant Colonel David Chisenhall described him as second to none. He said, we are here today to pay our respects to a great American airman. But more than that, we're here to remember and celebrate the life and accomplishments of an airman who has meant so much to so many. Brian was an outstanding HVAC mechanic who was full of life, who never shied from throwing bones, taking it up a whole lot, or showing off his warm smile. I thank God for almost 11 years.
Not I miss gambling with him.
Thank God for almost 11 years. We're so proud of you, Brian. Another may take your position, but you'll never be replaced. He liked that line right there. Now, the police, they're not really feeling this self-defense claim. First of all, medical evidence is fighting against you at this point. But, like, your story has shifted. You creating doubt. We got our eye on you. Kamethia, she gets arrested right after interrogation because her story's weak sauce or whatever, right? But when she has her bond hearing, the bond is only $200,000. So your girl bonds out. The police will continue their investigation, pulling more evidence or whatever. Like, while you waiting for your trial and shit to start, you're supposed to act right. You know what I mean? Because they can revoke your bail. Her lawyers are giving her circumstances to abide by. She's not. Her mom is concerned. She's like, she won't eat. She won't drink. She's depressed. She cries all the time. She sleeps all the time. She's losing her mind. She gets indicted on February 25th of 2010 for second-degree murder. and they like re-review her bond. Again, now she's not doing what the lawyers asked of her. She's not upholding her terms that she needs to be out on bond. So now the judge is like, we're going to up your bond to $2 million. She pleads not guilty by reason of insanity. So the judge is like, you say you insane? Let's give you a psych evaluation. The prosecutors, they getting all up in arms like, judge, this girl ain't crazy. She reaching, grasping for straws. She stabbed this man 65 times, and now she trying to get off and going to say she done lost her mind. She was perfectly sane when we spoke to her. Like, nah, don't try and let her get away with this. Judge is like, nope. We're going to get her tested, and we're going to see what's going on. Her mom is saying that she's acting not like herself. And so she pleads not guilty by reason of insanity. They got the bond set at $2 million. She goes to jail. So April 5th, 2011, Kim's defense team files a motion for the appointment of a sanity commission. Like, her family can't get her checked out. They can't afford it. They're already trying to pay for this lawyer. Like, judge, can you order a psych eval? Defense is like, this is baloney. She's competent. Judge is like, we're going to see. We're going to have a professional speak to that. So she goes to a hospital. And she's evaluated, and they said at this time she is not competent to proceed and is ordered to undergo 90-day restoration treatment based on 3 forensic experts. The first expert they called in, it was like, we're trying to talk to her about the events leading up, and she's not giving us anything. Maybe she can't even tap into there because it was a psychotic break. They put her with the first expert. She's refusing to cooperate. They sent her back. She's refusing to cooperate. They send her back for a third evaluation in June. All these are different physicians evaluating her. They all meet with her a second and third time and are like, she's getting more cooperative as you go along. I don't know if it's like a building a trust thing or whatever, but she's definitely like playing a long game here. Also, you can see that her memory is very much intact. Because the only questions that she don't know is the one she don't want to answer. What's your name? Where are you born? I'm Kamethia from Minden, Louisiana, whatever. When we ask you questions about the night that happened, oh, I don't know. It was all a fog. Tell us something about Brian. Brian used to love. Tell us something about this night. I don't know. By the end of all these evaluations, they basically said, We think she should be able to stand trial. She might have a breakdown when we get there. We'll have to see. But, like, it's a little early to call, but I think we're good to go forward from here. Attorney Thomas Alonzo, he starts going through that discovery because they're getting ready to... Take that shit to trial, bitch. Take that shit to trial,
bitch. Take that shit to trial, bitch. Take that shit to trial. Are you that friend that loves to treat themselves? Between Taz and I am definitely the person that's like, let's just pay for it. And let's find the best option to do so. And if you're the type of person that wants to prioritize yourself, why not prioritize your health? Now enters ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book tens of thousands of top-tier doctors, all with verified patient reviews. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. I love this because I can just say, hey, I am looking for a black female OBGYN. I am looking for whatever doctor you need at the time. You can find them and get appointments as early as tomorrow. So go to ZocDoc.com/SWK and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/SWK. ZocDoc.com/SWK.
Her trial date was set and jury selection began on April 23rd of 2012.
Kamethia was represented by defense attorney Thomas Alonzo, and there were a lot of pretrial attempts to suppress statements that she gave to the police. They tried to suppress that phone call that she had with her mom that she thought wasn't recorded. Eye roll. And they argued that Kim was in such a state of shock that she had no idea what she was talking about. There's no way that this statement was freely and voluntarily given. And they were like, nah, motion denied. The first day of testimony happened on April 25th. Opening statements came from, of course, both the prosecution and the defense. The prosecution saying, listen, I got half a dozen witnesses here ready to let y'all know what happened that night to prove that Kamethia is the monster that she is clearly shown to be, and you will see that during this trial. And the defense is like, listen, Kamethia is a woman that was abused, that suffers from battered wife syndrome. She has PTSD now because of this, because her relationship with Brian was so volatile. Her actions were a result of ongoing mental and sexual abuse by Brian. He used his power over her constantly. And that night she had enough. This beautiful young woman who has never had any interaction with the police before making that 911 call to report her boyfriend dead. She didn't run. She didn't try to hide. She reported him. Her first interaction with the police. She was a beautiful prom homecoming queen. Should she suffer because she was suffering?
Speak on it, Mariah.
I came up with that one all on my own. So they start calling up witnesses to the stand. The first person was the dispatcher that took the 911 call, which, like, oh, that, talk about a job that I don't think I want.
To be a 911 dispatcher?
No, because you'd be like, something's happened. I'd be like, what? Something's happened. I start freaking out with you. I can't stay calm.
I know, right?
I would be like, what? Just try to. I wouldn't be able to stay calm.
Crying.
Yeah, you cry. I'm going to cry too.
Stay calm, man.
I'm trying. I'm telling. And then I start yelling at the, get there faster. She needs. Yeah, no. See, that ain't the job for me. Because I would make everybody's day stressful.
What's funny is I said stay calm as in what you were supposed to be telling the people on the phone. And you over there speaking for yourself talking about, I'm trying.
The prosecutors, they talk to the 911 operator to testify what they heard. They then play the 911 tape. And this is really hard for a lot of people to hear because you literally hear Brian asking for help and then dying on the phone. This is heartbreaking for Brian's family. Some of them are crying. Some people had to step out. It's one thing to know somebody is dead. It's another thing to see them dead. It's another thing to only be able to hear them. Like, I hear your cries. Next up, they have the first responders that talk about Brian's state when they found him. Then they talk to one of his friends, one of his homeboys that was with him that night, and they said that Brian was talking about Kimmy with them. He was like, man, y'all don't even know what I have to go through with this girl. Like, it's a lot. Y'all do not understand. You feel me? Y'all do not understand. Alluding to the fact that she was jealous. She would be controlling, and she wanted all of Brian when Brian didn't really want to give all of him.
Every place that I have researched this trial, they have all talked about how the people who witnessed them the night before, they always put in quotes, she was going to, quote, whoop his ass. And I just see them on the stand like, she said that she was going to whoop his ass, Your Honor. I don't know if I could curse. She said, quote, I'm going to whoop his ass.
They leave for the first day of testimony. They come back the next day. And one of the people that come up is the medical examiner. Now, the medical examiner obviously talks about how his wounds were horrible. Tazzy described them earlier, that he had lacerations everywhere. He was stabbed over 60 times. There were so many defensive wounds on his arms and his upper body where you could tell that he was trying to hide his face and protect himself from being attacked. There were three fatal wounds. The first was a stab wound roughly 3 inches deep in his neck, and that one lacerated an artery. The second one was the left slash right above his Adam's apple that would have caused him to bleed out. When the medical examiner is on the stand, they show pictures of Brian's body, of how badly he was injured. He was almost unrecognizable. That is over 60 stab wounds, your neck slash. You're not going to be coming back from seeing that. The next thing that they did was play the tapes of Kimmy being interviewed by the detectives. Now, when they do this, goes to show all of her crazy stories, how her story jumped from one thing to another. And this made Kimmy so upset. She started screaming and yelling and throwing a fit in the courtroom that the judge was like, okay, we're going to have to take a recess for today. Somebody please take her so that she can have a break and we will be back again tomorrow. And the prosecution is like, listen, there's old Kimmy again. As soon as things start not going her way, she starts acting up. They come back and they start talking to DNA specialists. The DNA specialists come and they say, listen, and they look and they're like, oh, there's a lot of blood on the knives, and they can see that Brian's blood is on both of the knives. Now the weekend comes, the weekend goes, and it's Monday, April 30th. They bring Kim up to testify in her own defense.
At that point, you wanted a show. Y'all see how she done been acting.
She talks about how Brian was very abusive to her. She talks about how he was very controlling. She talks about the night at the club that led to them arguing. She said that Brian was at the club and she told him not to go to the club, but she was out with her girls and he was upset because he specifically told her not to show up and she showed up and then she saw him with another girl. She talked about when she got back to the house. Her story was that he grabbed a knife, so she grabbed a knife to defend herself. And it just so happened that she was able to break away from him, sticking with the I was defending myself story. And then she says, after that, I blanked out. And they said, no, tell us about John, the guy that had dreads, that broke into the house.
You remember him?
That tried to kill Brian. She's like, yeah, I made him up. On Tuesday, she had another, like, screaming, yelling. They had to do another recess while in the middle of cross-examination on Tuesday, so they had to come back on Wednesday to finish the closing statements and figure out what the results of this trial were going to be. So finally, we're here on Wednesday. They get to ask a few more questions of Kim, but not many. They just said, let's just let that lie. They had their closing arguments, prosecution laying their case to rest, that Kimmy was upset, jealous, angry, and she decided to take that out on Brian in the most disturbing way. The defense says, listen, Kamethia was a woman who worked hard and never wanted to see this man suffer, but she blanked out. Being abused for that long will do that to you. And the closing arguments, they also played the 911 tapes again and the interview again, which is another way that they're trying to add on that layer for the jury, but it also, like,
traumatizing to his family.
Yeah, Brian's family could not hear that shit again. Like, we had to do it once, and now you bringing it up again? And think about it, hearing that on the first day of testimony, and you prepare yourself for it. You know that they're going to come. And so you're like, whew, I got through that. Let's see what the hell she got to say. You're angry those days because you watching her testify and her having to have recesses over and over again. And then it's like, okay, here we are, acting closing like arguments. But closing arguments, they said it was standing room only in there. Like, everybody was trying to figure out what was going to happen. And so I feel like the jury, the prosecutor and the defense, they was putting on a show. You got to give them all razzle dazzle. And played them again. The family could not take it. So they stepped out and they come back while the jury... They come back and they wait while the jury goes out and they deliberate.
After 2 hours of deliberation on May 2nd of 2012, she was convicted of second-degree murder. On May 11th, they held her sentencing and she was sentenced to life without parole. Brian's brother, Jared Spinks, said, quote, I hate that it came down to this over a simple breakup. It wasn't necessary. Brian's dad, Rydell Dennis, said it was unnecessary. Sympathies go out to them as a family and prayers as well, but it wasn't necessary. And I think that's a big place to come from, to be like, I know we just lost our son, but y'all just lost your daughter too. Y'all ain't the problem. She the problem. We all gonna need some healing after this.
Yeah.
Now, Kim filed an appeal very shortly after, saying that her confession should have been thrown out because she claims that she did not give it freely or voluntarily. She also wanted to go back and argue that the things with her mom should not have been admitted because it's an expectation of privacy while in the office. And she says that she was not aware that she was being monitored. She argued that the detectives engaged in an overreaching conduct, including the use of fear, duress, intimidation, menaces, threats, inducement, and or promises. Her defense argues she refused to sign a waiver. She had a murder charge. She had lack of sleep. She had hysteria. She was injured through all of this. And she was constantly asking for her mother y'all just kept giving her this waiver to sign. So she wanted to talk to her mom. She just ended up signing a waiver so she could talk to her mom. So, yeah, y'all got to throw that out. Her appeals were denied. It says something about Louisiana got this stern policy about you should have brought it up before a trial. Don't ask me about it. Like, don't appeal something that you had an issue with at the beginning of the trial, because then you should have brought it up at the beginning of the trial. And so they just hold true to that. She is currently being held at the Louisiana Department of Corrections in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And yeah, she's there till the end. Ain't no release date.
Till the end of time. Take. And that is the story of Kamethia Coleman. Listen, I know that you all like stories. That's why you're here. But what about stories that are for your adult alone time? Yeah, ones that you can't listen to in the carpool line. That's where Dipsy comes in. Dipsy Storytelling helps you pop in your earbuds and indulge in a steamy fantasy world filled with hundreds of stories. Dipsy is really great for your alone time because they bring scenarios to life with immersive soundscapes and realistic characters. Discover stories about second chance romances, adventurous vacation flings, and hot and heavy hookups. You can live your life vicariously through these stories. They also have soothing sleep stories, wellness sessions, and sexy written stories to read. Anything you need to enjoy the time by yourself. For listeners of the show, Dipsy is offering an extended 30-day free trial. That's right, a 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/sisters. That's 30 days full access for free when you go to dipsystories.com/sisters. That's dipsystories.com/sisters. All right, y'all, it's time for I Didn't Do It, But If I Did, This Is How I Would Have Gotten Away With It. Girl, I ain't do it, but if I did, if I pulled up at that club that he was supposed to be at and you suspect him of being with another woman, I would have had me somebody with me. Even if it was a friend that I wanted to pretend to be my nigga to make this man jealous. Because
she wasn't an ugly girl. She could have easily picked up a nigga at the bar right
at the bar and could have done the whole, I'm about to make out with this random stranger so my man see so he can make sure he want me back.
Exactly. Like, he could have played the game.
There's ways to play the game. And you can still be crazy and play the game and not be in prison for the rest of your life.
I didn't do it, but if I did, you gotta have some self-control. Because if you was gonna say somebody else attacked him, you can't stab him harder and more times than you willing to stab yourself now. You want to go up here and give yourself 6 slices, talk about, oh, he tried to save me, so he took the brunt of it. Girl, boo.
You always said that. If you're going to make it look like somebody stabbed you, you better be ready to stab yourself. Oh, no. Could not. I ain't do it, but if I did, I wouldn't have pulled up at his house that night. I would have let him sit there and think. Right. You want to be mad? You sit there and think.
And wonder what I'm doing.
About. And why my crazy tail ain't pulled up at your house.
You got to let him miss you. Got to let him right. See what I life is without you.
Exactly. And also, like, if I say, hey, I want to take this relationship seriously. I'm at the point in my life where I want to start looking for a long-term relationship. And you tell me that you don't want that, we can just fuck around?
You at the place in your life where you can't be fucking around with niggas, so get to step in. Find you a nigga that want to settle down. But if you at that place in your life, he ain't going to move faster just because your clock ticking.
He ain't the only fine man in the world, I promise. I ain't do it, but if I did, everything at the jailhouse is recorded, girl.
And what's stupid is...
Even the call with your mama.
Them talking about... It's a sticker on the phone talking about this is being recorded. My mama told me to read everything. We used to drive in the car. She'd be like, just read signs. Read everything. I can't imagine seeing something and not reading it. Like, can you imagine something being posted on the wall and you don't read it? Do you do that? It's reaction.
Yeah. They're usually trying to tell you something.
Yeah. People still choose not to read. I don't know why. What else? What else she do wrong?
Child.
I didn't do it, but if I did, I would have not finished him off on the phone with the 911 operator.
Because why?
Like, girl, she gave you life-saving techniques, and now he's gurgling on his blood after he was just able to talk. You might as well have just stabbed him in the heart or something, but he probably would have been like, ugh, like, I don't know. But, girl, she was like, hell nah, he can't make it past this because I don't stand a chance.
If he can talk, baby, I'm going to prison. You got there anyways.
Listen,
all roads lead to.
Might as well go out with a fighting chance.
Girl, I will give her, I do think that she was reaching for those insanity pleas, and she sure did reach far and wide. I ain't mad at her about it. I ain't gonna hold you.
She was tripping. Y'all got to walk away.
It's so much easier. It's so much easier to just say,
if you don't want me, then don't talk to me. Go ahead to someone else. Baby, if you don't want me, then don't talk to me. I'll be all right. Go ahead and free yourself. If you don't want me, don't talk to me.
Parole or no parole?
She ain't got no choice, but nah. She stared at me. It's the slice of his throat on the 911. You meant that shit. You meant that shit. You said, oh.
I agree. You're going to have to stay in there for the rest of your days. Yes. All right, let's go ahead and read some reviews and get out of here. The show's over. The show's over. Everybody, just calm down. The show's over. Go ahead. If you're listening to us, follow us, like us, follow us, download us,
like, follow,
tell somebody
subscribe.
About us. Leave us a review. You may hear it aloud on the show. I don't know. We may read it. We may skip over it. We may look at it, say all, and never acknowledge you. But know that we love you, each and every one of you. Mm-hmm. I'm going to read a review today.
I feel like I screenshotted one, but maybe I didn't.
This one is from Boy Mom and Proud. Says, love it. 5 stars. Hey, girls. Absolutely love the show. My friend put me on at the beginning when I was on maternity leave with my son, and now I'm on my second, still listening, and my son and boyfriend know when they hear it to go somewhere else. LOL. I just listened to the recent episode and sent it to my friend on how everything was pronounced. We live in Maryland, and Waldorf kept us... And Waldorf, keep up the great work. I keep listening, and it helps me get through those hard times and postpartum. Love, Boy Mom and Proud. Aw, thank you, girl. Happy. Girl. I'm so glad that you have these two beautiful babies.
This one says, love it. I'm new here, and I'm already like 10 episodes down. Love it. The details, the sidebars, the opinions, the comedic relief. Y'all are a mess, but it's so fun. It makes my day at work pass by so much faster. Thank y'all so much for the work y'all put into bringing awareness and giving us great and intriguing content. You're welcome, girl. We do our best.
I try. And if you do believe that those people are telling the truth, tell a friend. Follow us on Instagram. We have Sisters Who Kill Pod, Sisters Who Kill Podcast. If you type in Sisters Who Kill somewhere, we should pop up. Basically. And follow us, subscribe, like, share, tell somebody, join the discussion group. It's really cool in there. We chit chat all the time. We tell funny stories. People talk about what stands out in the episode to them, give their own personal stories as well. It's really great. You have to answer questions to get in there, but it's totally worth it. And I don't have anything else. Thanks for seeing us here, and we'll see you next week. Anything else, friend?
Am I ready?
Anything else, friend?
Actually, yes.
What do you have?
I love your spank surprise. We are officially announcing it. You've asked for it. You've begged for it. We're finally doing... No, it's not merch. It's our first live show.
That's right. And merch will be at the live show.
It will be.
There will be. Tell us all about it.
All about it. Well, it's going to be at the Variety on March 23rd.
That's in Atlanta, Georgia.
In Atlanta, Georgia.
you know, make whatever arrangements y'all gotta make. But yes, there will be an option to get VIP tickets where you can come backstage and see me and Mariah.
That's right.
Maybe take a picture with us, a little something. What am I missing, Mariah?
We want to sell this thing out, so.
Oh, for sure.
Now you know. The tickets will come out a week from today. So if you're listening to this episode now, you need to wait until next episode comes out. And that is when the tickets will go on sale.
So listen, you either got paid this week and you need to put your money up for next week, or you're going to get paid next week when they come out. All right?
Either way, put it in your budget.
Mm-hmm. Don't disappoint me, y'all. Like, nah, they said they going to show up, give them a real vicinity. Where I wanted to put y'all in a what's it called? A what type of theater? A black box theater?
A black box. I was like, oh, you know, maybe a few people will show up. Taz is like, nah, we going to do it. We going to do it big. So we're doing it big. And y'all better be there. Okay? Y'all better be there.
So,
and it's going to be great.
Yeah, we're going to prove Mariah wrong. Y'all going to show out. We're going to have a good show. March 23rd at the Variety Playhouse in Atlanta, Georgia. Okay?
That's right.
To our live show at the Variety Playhouse in Atlanta, March 23rd. That's right.
Yep, you can go to Sisters Who Kill Live. Yes, that means that there's three L's in there. SistersWhoKillLive.com next week to purchase your tickets to see us on March 23rd at the Variety Playhouse here in Atlanta, Georgia. We're excited, we're nervous, and we can't wait to see you.